And of course, you just presented that data at ASCO. Can you talk a little bit about how you put it all together?
Yeah, so we have known that AFP obviously is a universally used biomarker in the world. So, if you ask, what marker that we can check for hepatocellular carcinoma, regardless whether you're in Europe, in Asia, in the States, you can all send the serum alpha-fetoprotein. We also know that this biomarker is actually a poor prognostic marker, at least for the advanced stage hepatocellular carcinoma, meaning that, when you have the high AFP, these patients actually fare very poorly. And for this notion, if you look at all the updated clinical trials, we're starting to even incorporate this one as a stratification factor when we design the phase III trial, just to minimize the imbalance contributed by the high AFP subgroup. So I think, for a long time, we know that HCC is very heterogeneous, and there are the so-called angiogenesis-driven HCC. Perhaps this subgroup, is manifested by the high AFP. And interestingly, I should add that there's no simple correlation, meaning it's not like, if you have high AFP, you will have just increased VEGF or VEGFR activity. But there are other angiogenesis biomarker that seem to be segregated with a high AFP signature. But obviously, this is a field that I think that requires additional investigation. But for reasons that were still not completely understood, this subgroup, which accounts for up to, 50% of advanced HCC patients, they seem to benefit more from ramucirumab treatment.
That's interesting, though. Are you saying that maybe there's a biology to this that is connected to the mechanism of action and angiogenesis? I mean, I would assume that there's a correlation between AFP levels and tumor bulk and volume. Is that the case?
I don't think actually it's religious to the tumor bulk. We have seen in my practice there are a lot of patients with very high tumor burden, but you can actually have normal AFP. Quite contrary, you can have a solitary HCC, but with very high AFP. So they're definitely not just restricted to the tumor burden. I do personally think there is underlying biological link, but I just think that this is an area that we have not studied as extensively as we should.
And of course, based on the experience you already have with this drug, I would assume it's much better tolerated than the TKIs.
Yeah, so I think that's really my personal feeling. Particularly when you have several TKIs, when the patient fail one TKI, if you actually keep sequencing TKI, I think the tolerability perhaps is a major issue. As supported by the presented data that we have, I think this agent definitely is better tolerated in many ways. I think the only noticeable side effect we need to be careful is really the hypertension, the hyponatremia risk in small group of patients. But I think clinicians are getting very comfortable treating hypertension over the past decade.
So in gastric, of course, it's more typically used with chemotherapy, specifically a taxane paclitaxel. Not too much chemotherapy used for HCC. Any interest, though, in that kind of strategy for HCC?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I think combining chemotherapy with antiangiogenics in HCC is definitely still attractive concept. But I think we've been intimidated with the poor tolerability and the limited clinical experience with chemotherapy. As you know, doxorubicin has been actually tested in this particular setting in combination with sorafenib that really did not show any benefit. We have actually, really tested this particular concept, in the phase II trial setting. For example, we have tried to combine chemotherapy with bevacizumab. We have combined sorafenib with, FOLFOX. And so I think, there's still perhaps some merits, but I think, it's very unlikely that we're going to actually test additional chemotherapy in combination with antiangiogenic agents, particularly in the era that the checkpoint inhibitor is really gaining such popularity right now.
Just finishing out, though, on AFP, in terms of this issue of predicting benefit, has that been looked at with other TKIs or with TKIs?
So they have not been looked at prospectively. In other words, high AFP was not incorporated as a pre-specified hypothesis. But having said that, all the phase III trials will look at that. I know that regorafenib, has looked at that. I think cabozantinib has looked at that. I think, lenvatinib will look at this as well. I think all the drugs, you know, will perhaps re-examine how their drug is behaving in this subgroup.